O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your church bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Pastor and Mrs. Otero are in Oregon to take part in a celebration for their granddaughter, Jacqueline Lacey, and will be back next Sunday, Lord willing. And some of our young people have also gone there to be part of that celebration. We miss them, but as you can see, Pastor Otero asked our great and trusted friend of our church to stand in the pulpit today to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ from the Scriptures. And I'll just take a moment to give you some of Pastor Van Dyken's his background, which many of you know, but I would like, for those that don't, Pastor Otero, Pastor Van Dyken, I should say, was a heavy bomber pilot in World War II. He later became a chaplain. He was a supervising chaplain in Vietnam, and he's pastored churches, several churches. And so we're grateful to have him here with all his experience and his background and his zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. So Pastor Van Dyken will be bringing the message from the Gospel of Matthew. We are grateful, Pastor, that you have come a long distance to be with us today. Our brother Wayne Pitts will be leading the second service today at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor, and all are invited to participate in that service. Due to rehearsal for the Christmas Cantata, the church history class, normally scheduled for 3 p.m. today, will be canceled. The 4 p.m. class, a chat with pastor, is of course canceled as well. Our brother Greg Tomlinson will be speaking at our 5 o'clock service this afternoon. At our Wednesday evening prayer service, we will be viewing and discussing Dr. R.C. Sproul's lecture series on biblical themes, and this week's subject poses the question, what is truth? And this will be followed by a time of prayer. Again, we remind you that our Sunday morning 11 a.m. services are being broadcast live locally on KKMC at 880 on the AM band, and also live worldwide on the internet on our website at BethelMorganHill.org. Our 5 p.m. Sunday services are broadcast live on the internet as well as the Wednesday evening service is on the internet. And of course, our adult Bible Sunday school is also being broadcast live now on the internet. Our scripture reading for the month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 72, verse 17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 32, Blessed Be the Name.
Blessed be the name.
Let us continue our worship now with hymn number 87, Joy to the World. Stand as we sing hymn number 100, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Everlasting, eternal, almighty God and Father, we thank you, our Father, that you give us the privilege of coming to you. We are sinners, conceived and born in sin, and yet in thy goodness and mercy thou dost open thy heart and open the way of salvation to us. We thank thee for this, because without that there would be no hope for us here in this life and in the life to come. We thank thee for thy people gathered here this morning. We thank thee for those too who are listening on the radio. We pray that together we may worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and that we may worship him in such a way that we do him honor, glory, and praise. And also, our Father, that it may touch our hearts, that we may be able to not only glorify him, but live for him. We pray, our Father, if there are any here that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who have not walked with him, who have not come to the realization that they have been converted and that they are saved, that this may be that glorious day. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, wilt thou be in our midst and touch the hearts of each one. So also with those who are listening in, we thank thee, Lord, that they too in the home may come to know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there is no hope outside of him, but all of the glorious, wonderful promises of eternal life come to those who believe. Bless each one, forgive our sins, and bless the choir as they again sing to thy name's honor, glory, and praise. Amen. Your morning offering will be received.
free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in Thee. Israel's strength and consolation above all.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided for you in the pew, turn to page 561. We will be reading Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the scriptures written over so many centuries before the coming of Christ, foretelling the coming of the Messiah, even to the place he would be born. We thank you for the many infallible proofs in the Bible that witness to the fact that Jesus is who he said he is, God appearing in the flesh. We thank you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love, that you have given us the gift of faith, which is supported by every word that proceeds from your mouth, which are written in the scriptures. We thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you for your servant, our pastor, our brother, Pastor Jack Van Dyken, as he comes to expose the great truths from the Bible written for the sake of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless him, we pray, that he may continue to serve you and preach the gospel for many years to come. We pray for those listening here and on the radio and internet who have not come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, that they too may come to believe on him and be saved from judgment and condemnation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
It's very good being able to be here with you folks again here in Morgan Hill. And for those of you who are listening in on the radio, we're glad that you can be tuned also on this Lord's Day. There's something that has struck me very much at this particular season of the year, and it has almost throughout all the year. I remember last year around this time I was I had to visit my family, most of which live back east in Michigan and in that area. And of course you have music in the aircraft. And it was Christmas time, and you know there was not one Christian hymn there. Oh, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and this and that and all of that. But nothing which pertained to the real meaning of Christmas. And I was thinking about that this week, and I want to talk to you today about the real meaning of Christmas. They have been fighting in this nation of ours, and we're coming to a tremendous, dangerous time, and we need to be very concerned of what's happening in our country, where all kinds of rules and laws that have been standing in times past are turned away by liberal judges and maybe even in the Supreme Court. We have to worry about that because they don't want anything. Don't mention the name God. But you know what really gets me? So many of these same people, when they talk, they'll say, "Oh my God." Well, I would say to them, don't mention God yourself unless you're going to talk to him as a child of God. So we want to look at the various things which have happened in the past and which our scripture was talking about. Christ's birth caused a tremendous amount of excitement in Jerusalem. And besides this this part of the episode of the coming of Christ, there were strangers that had come to town. And they were unusual strangers because they came with a big group of entourage. Scripture calls them wise men. And we have looked back into history and so on, and some have thought these were some not only wise men, but they were kings of some of the nations. And they had been studying the stars, and in studying the stars, they saw an unusual star, and this is what we call the Star of Bethlehem. And they noticed that it moved, and it astounded them. You know how the people today who are interested in the heavenly places as far as the stars and all of that, they check every little thing, and they can tell you when this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And so these folks, over 2,000 years ago, they had noticed that star, and they got ready because the star moved, and they thought, well, this is unusual and low enough under the ground, so that they could tell it was moving, rather than way out in the far out in the universe. And they came following that star, one of the great miracles of all times, right to Jerusalem. And they came there because they said, this star has something very significant. It must be something very important. It must be that there is a king that has just been born, and the star is going to lead us to him so that we can acknowledge him and bow down and worship him and all of this. So they began asking around, and the word got to the leader, the civilian leader of Jerusalem, King Herod. I'm going to tell you quite a bit about King Herod. He was a troubled man. He had gone through so many things already, and he was actually a ruthless man. Listen to some of the things about him. He became king over the Jews there in Jerusalem in the year 37 BC. That's 37 years before, Christ. And he had begun his reign worrying about somebody else that might take his place. And you'll see why he wanted to know about this new king, Jesus, you know, that the wise men had spoken about. So the first thing that he did after he became king, one of his close associates, who some said should have been king, Antipas, he had him executed. That's the way they did things. There was another competitor that Herod had, and he had him drowned. And then there's a third that we notice, and this is historical. We read this. His wife's brother, whose name was Joseph, was a very prominent man and very much liked, and he thought, he's going to take over my kingdom. So he had his own brother-in-law put to death. Then also another very well-known individual of those days, a man by the name of Hyseneus II, he had him executed too. Can you imagine all of this? But then listen to this. The fifth big time of execution came when he had his own wife executed. He was so concerned that somebody's going to take over his power, he even had his wife executed. But not only that, and he finished it off with all of his boys. His daughters could live, but all of his boys, he had them all executed. Can you ever imagine such a man? That's the man Herod that Scripture is talking about. And this is why we can see why the wise men, who were indeed very wise, didn't do exactly what they wanted, what he wanted to. But the interest of Herod was that he wanted to be sure that he could remain the king of the Jews. And these wise men had said, "Where is the king of the Jews?" And he called in the priests, Herod called in the priests and the Levites and all of those who of the Sanhedrin, and said, "Look, tell me, where is the king of the Jews to be born?" And they said, "Well, according to Scripture, he was to be born in Bethlehem." And that we find that in Micah, the 5th chapter, the 2nd verse, where it says, "But thou, Bethlehem," that's the Old Testament, "Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting." That's what the Jews knew all along. Every Jewish girl was told early in her life, God is going to send his Messiah, and he will come through the birth of one of you, the girls. And so every girl was taught that, and they were always looking forward to that. And it happened with Mary. And so the very thing that they had been concerned about was biblical. And so when Herod found out, when they spoke about where he was to be, and that is in Bethlehem, he had told the wise men then when they came, "Search and diligently and bring me word." Herod was not concerned about Jesus coming as God's own son to save us from our sins and give unto us everlasting life. Herod was only concerned about the everyday worldly things and about his position in life. Christ was a threat to him. He must be eliminated. This was his idea. He only wanted in life what was evil, and he does desire those things so much. He did not want Jesus as his Lord and Savior. No, he sounded like he did, didn't he? He said to the wise men, "As soon as you find him, let me know. I want to go worship him," which was a lie. He wanted to do away with Jesus. Congregation, the world is filled with people who talk about what is vital and important in life. And there are other Herods around who are not really concerned with the eternal salvation which we find in Jesus Christ. worshiping self rather than the everlasting eternal God, or worshiping their money. I don't know if you watch TV and listen to the news. It's a distressing thing most of the time. But, oh, they make so much out of these various things, and I'm not going to bring it to your attention. You know what I'm talking about. That's the whole thing. They're not interested in the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings who came on earth to save us from eternal death. Herod didn't want Christ to live. He was not one that cared for Jesus as you and I do. Then we know also that the Jews themselves recognized the fact that when the Messiah was come, it would be in Bethlehem. And you and I know the whole story of how Joseph and Mary left their country and came across the desert area and then stayed right in Jerusalem where the baby was to be born. And when the baby was born, they had the wonderful privilege of hearing the angels, or not the angels, but the wise men who came and to acknowledge him. But also that before that, and there's quite a span of time in here, and we won't go into that, the plain old everyday shepherds had come and worshiped him. And this was a glorious thing, and we're going to talk about that too. The Jews knew that Jesus, their Messiah, was to be born in Bethlehem. And they told this to Herod, of course, and then Herod said that to the wise men. They were not concerned, the Jews were not concerned about the Messiah that God had promised. They wanted a Messiah who would drive out the Roman rule and that they could again take over and have all the power as a Jewish nation. They did not come to worship Jesus. And yet, you know, isn't this something? What a testimony this is. They themselves said, as we read out of Micah, that yes, the Messiah is to be born, the King of the Jews is to be born in Bethlehem. So you see, this is a wonderful thing added to this. Now, God used it a different way. He took them from Nazareth, and they came because they had to register there, and their background was from Bethlehem. So that's where they were registered. You know the story of how that was that way. But can you imagine? These Jews, the Sanhedrin, the rulers of the Jews, the priests and so on, they knew that that must be the Messiah. But they didn't go to worship him. They were concerned too about other things. They wanted to do away with anyone that would compromise the issue. Later on, when Jesus grew up and did his particular work, remember when he came into the temple and cleansed the temple and threw out the money changers and all those who were selling the wild animals for offerings. And he says, "Don't make my Father's house a place of den of thieves." But this was all approved by the Jewish leaders, the leaders who were supposed to look after the spiritual thing. They were looking after the wrong thing. And so it's so very important not just to have the name of being a man or an individual who knows the way of salvation, but truly knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what Herod needed, but he didn't want it. He wanted the world. That's what the wise men wanted, and they gave homage to Jesus. We do not know whether they were actually converted or not, but they surely bowed down before him, and they sure did not want to have Jesus murdered, because Scripture says then they went away without letting Herod know where Jesus was. And, of course, the common, ordinary people came to know that this was their Messiah. The shepherds undoubtedly told the people wherever they went, the Messiah has come. Scripture doesn't tell us very much about that. But these were undoubtedly men of faith. Otherwise, God would not have sent the angels to them and tell them, the Messiah is born. And they went to the crib. Remember, we know the story of how that happened. Scripture tells us about that. But they were true believers, and they brought the message out all over. But not so among those who should have been doing it, those who were the high priests and all of that. There was a longing among God's people in the Old Testament for the coming of the Messiah. To those who really and truly understood what the Messiah was, like the two individuals, an older man and an older lady, when Jesus was brought later on at the seventh day to be circumcised in the temple, that they indicated, this is the Son of God, and what a glorious thing. It was plain enough. There was no reason that the Jewish Sanhedrin and all of those couldn't realize, well, this is our Messiah. Wonderful. This is what we've been looking for. But they want a Messiah only that would take care of the temporal things. Christianity isn't primarily to take care of all of the earthly things. We pray and ask God for things, and he gives us what we need. And sometimes he doesn't give us some things which we would like to have, but he knows better. Some people, of course, think that the whole thing of Christianity is that people will be healed, and they, these evangelists, and I think they mean right, but their whole emphasis is to heal the bodies. But that isn't what Christ is for. That's temporal again. Those bodies are going to deteriorate and die. This is not everlasting life. This is not what Jesus came for. If Jesus came for that, Jesus himself, of course, healed many, many people. But have you ever thought about it? Jesus, just by saying it or thinking it as God, could have healed everybody in Jerusalem. But he didn't do that. He didn't come for that purpose. He came to be the suffering servant, to suffer and to die, that you and I and all who believe in him have everlasting life, forgiveness of sins. The Star of the East led the wise men to where Jesus was. The angels led the poor shepherds to where Jesus was, and they believed. Today, too, the very common down-to-earth message comes, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It means not that you are going to have everything just exactly the way you want, that if you're sick, if you just become a Christian, you will be healed. Now, God does heal, absolutely. But that's not the whole object of Christianity. The whole object of Christianity is to heal the soul. That's the important thing. People like to have the body healed. All of us do. But that's not the real message of salvation. Just as the message came to Herod, he had the wrong concept. And to the Jewish leaders, and they had the wrong concept. So the message can come today, unless they say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But of course, this starts with the realization that, first of all, we must know that all of us are sinners. All of us are sinners. Because Scripture says that we are conceived and born in sin, and subject to all manner of wickedness. And we need something that remedies that situation, because we can't face death, we can't face eternity with that against us. And so we come to know the real meaning of Christmas, and that is that your Savior came on earth. He came And I want to bring something to your attention. We've been studying this in a group with I'm studying it. When did Jesus start suffering for us? When did he start suffering? And we looked and said, well, when he was 10 years old? No, before that. When he was 8 years old? No. And then we got to the point when God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, impregnated Jesus into the womb of Mary. He already then was suffering. For 9 months he suffered. Can you imagine God having to go through this and all of that? And one of the things about this is that when I was told about this, I had the privilege of talking to one of the ladies at the church, a young lady who was carrying her first child, and I said, look, Jesus understands what you're going through. And that's the beautiful thing. Jesus himself went through that as a little baby, and then he was born and subject to all of the things of the parents that he had, until at last he took his disciples and went around teaching exactly who he was. He walked with God and talked with God, and he told his disciples the way of salvation. The only hope in the world is not in all of the temporal things that we have. God gives us much more than we even need so often, and he surely gives us many, many blessings. But the main thing is, are you right with Jesus Christ for eternal salvation? There's many out there professing religion, and they're not bringing the right thing. From this pulpit, from the pastor, Dr. Otero, that you have, the plain, everyday, down-to-earth, truthful message of what Christmas is. Christmas is not Santa Claus. I remember as a boy, in our family, very conservative family, we couldn't have any such things as Santa Claus around, because that's what's already the world is kind of hiding Jesus, you know. And if you call somebody in one of the big companies and their secretary answers, they won't say, even if it were the day before Christmas, Merry Christmas to you. They don't allow to say that anymore. I asked my daughter, who worked for a company, I said, how come you're not saying Merry Christmas to me when I call? Oh, Daddy, she says, we're supposed to say Happy Holidays. And you notice, everything is Happy Holidays. It's not, they're trying to take Christ out of Christmas. We live in that kind of a world today, and it's a dangerous world. They hate the Ten Commandments. They hate anything that speaks about God, except to take his name in vain. But Christians, you and I know Jesus Christ. We know what Christmas is. We thank God that it's not the little presents we give out, and that's all right. But it's the great gift that God gave to us, which is everlasting life. But you only get it if you come and kneel before him and say, Jesus, I believe. Forgive my sins and take me in. I want to be a child of yours. That's the real meaning of Christmas, and it's a beautiful one. The world is trying to do away with it. Don't you let them do it. When I call these places, I always correct them. I said, no, not Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas. Oh, we're not allowed to say that. I said, well, I am, and so are you. And we pray that you and I get to know what kind of a world we're in. America, a Christian nation. And all of these things are happening around about us. But you have the right answer. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he'll wipe all of this away someday when he comes out of the clouds of glory to take you and me to be with him. But only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're someone that's listening in on the radio today and they don't really know what the future is for them, I'm asking you, as I ask each one that's in the church today, if you don't know, get on your knees and pray and talk to a pastor or one of the elders or one of the other Christians and say, help me to know Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will implant that in your heart, and you'll be saved, and it's worth more than anything else in the world. What's the real meaning of Christmas? Jesus came to suffer and to die and to rise again from the dead and go into heaven and preparing a place for us, as he said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also, and whither you know, whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Congregation, God bless you as you as a church hold the right message of what Christmas is. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee. We thank thee, our God, for all that thou dost give us. And we thank thee for the realization that there is but one way of salvation and that there is one meaning of Christmas and nothing else. And so we pray, Lord, that we too may stand up for Christ at Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.
Feed us now upon a winter night. Was born the child, the Christmas rose, the King of love and light. The angels came, the shepherds sang, the grateful orphans wept. And on his blessed birth, the stars their exaltation wore.
Come, let
Let us rise for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. In your going out and your coming in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.